We are holding on Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, a bit before the middle of the Amud line, begins Rishon. We learned in the Mishnah, we were talking in the Mishnah about the details of how Malkus is accomplished. We said in Malkin Oisai, we said that we don't give Malkus with the person standing or sitting, but rather leaning over. As it said, the Hippiloi HaShofet, as it says, that the Shofet throws him down. So, in this Amar Chista Amar Abiyach, how do we know that the Ritzua itself, the strap itself that's used for the Malkus, is doubled over, as we learned in the Mishnah, it's doubled into two. And it, never mind the Shor and Chamor, that was a different thing, but that it itself, the strap of leather, which we said is folded into two, and then you have two straps, which is folded. Right. So how do we know that it's folded over? How do we know that's folded over? Because the Pasuk says that he should throw him down, and Meforshim explain, actually it's interesting, the Meforshim, many of the Meforshim, including Marsha and others, quote this from the Yerushalmi, this explanation that we're going to give. We don't actually have, we in our printed Yerushalmi don't have Yerushalmi on the entire third paragraph of Makkos, but presumably it existed at one point. No, I've never mentioned about Makkos. There are other parts of the Yerushalmi that I'm missing, but apparently at some point of Yerushalmi on the third paragraph of Makkos existed, and this is their quote from it. That when it says v'hi piloi, we can read it as if it said v'hich piloi, he should double it over. So therefore we see that it's doubled over.
The strap, we read, or the person?
The strap is doubled over. We read the word v'hi piloi as if it said v'hich piloi, he should double it over. So the question is, we said in our Mishnah that we need the word behipiloi to teach us that the guy is not standing or sitting, but rather leaning over the pillar over there. If that's all it meant, that he has to be made to be leaning over, then the Pasuk could use the word yatehu, which unequivocally means to make him be leaning over. Hipiloi. Why did he use the word hipiloi? Shramin atarti. Therefore, we can learn both things. Number one, the pshat, that it means that we make him bent over. And number two, the fact that the strap itself is bent over, is doubled over. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, hamakim makabi yadir, we said that the one who's giving the malchus, we said he hits with one hand with all his strength. So how much strength should he have? We learn in a braisa. Ein mamin chazanin. We only appoint the chazan, meaning the shamish who's going to be giving the malchus. We only appoint them the type of people of chaserei koyach v'yaserei madim. People who are lacking in strength, meaning not lacking in strength, meaning weak, but meaning in other words who have average strength, v'yaserei madim, and have a lot of and who have a lot of knowledge, a lot of understanding. Meaning, because we want, according to this opinion, according to the Tanakhama, we want that the blows, of course, they have to be hard blows, but not so hard, so therefore we don't need the Chazan HaKnesset to be this muscular guy. Let him be an average strength guy. The Yisere Mada, let him be greater in understanding so that he doesn't miscount and end up giving too many mouths. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm after the No, not necessarily. All he needs is chaserei koyach v'yaserei mada. Rabbi Yehuda says no. It can be even the other way around. Afilu chaserei mada v'yaserei koyach. No, it can be even the other way around. It can be that they're lacking in knowledge and have greater strength. So the Rivan says ein lahakpin v'kach. There's no concern about that. Tosfos understands a little bit differently.
Where is the Rivan?
The Rivan is on the side over here instead of Rashi. Rashi passed away on your test. On your test on the days, there's a note over there that Rashi passed away. Here on the Pirush is from the Rivan, and that's what we've been using the last couple of days. So Tosfos says that it's not exactly the same thing. What it is that the Tanakhama is saying the person must not be chaserei mada. He must not be lacking in knowledge. He has to be yaserei mada. Rabbi Huda is saying that particular. Rabbi Huda is not saying you have to have chaserei mada. He's just saying it doesn't matter whether you're chaserei mada or not. The important point is Rabbi Huda is saying that it also doesn't matter if they're yaserei koyach, if they have a tremendous amount of strength. Either way, it's fine. Omar Rabba, come say that Rabbi Huda mistabra. Rabba says it seems logical to follow what Rabbi Huda says, that the guy can have a lot of strength, because the pasuk says loya, and that he doesn't have to have a lot of mada, that he doesn't have to have a lot of understanding. He doesn't have to be that smarter guy. Because the pasuk says loya, if he should not add to the malchus, pen yosef, because he might add too much. So if you say, like Rabbi Yehuda, that the guy who's giving the malchus isn't necessarily the brightest guy, then we understand why we need to warn him. Make sure, you may not be the brightest guy, make sure that you keep track and don't give him too many malchus.
There's no one who keeps track.
No, we're going to see in the Mishnah, no. We're going to see further on that you have among the Dayanim, one of them counts, another one tells him to hit, but nevertheless,
they don't have
still
a kill
be
switch.
Miscommunication or whatever.
They don't have a kill switch.
Yeah. Okay. But if you say that they have to be people of great intelligence, why should you have to warn them? Don't give too much. Obviously, the guy should be able to count. So therefore, it makes more sense to say like Rabbi Yehuda that it doesn't matter if they're chaserei mada. V'rabbanan, what are the rabbanan? Because if they're chaserei mada, the pasuk shouldn't need to warn them. Don't give them more malchus than you're supposed to. Obviously, the guy will know to only give as many malchus as he's told to. What are the Rabbanan answer to that? The famous expression, "Ein mezarez in elul mezuras." Who do we give? Who are we mezarez? Who do we give a warning to? The person who's actually going to pay attention to this person. If we're mezarez him, he's going to listen. The Abba, the pasuk itself, implying the very fact that the pasuk has to be mezarez, lo Yosef, pen Yosef, baket. It implies that the guy has the intelligence to understand that and to follow instructions, and therefore the Torah has to give him instructions. Tana, we learn in a braisa, Kshumagbia, when the chazan picks up the strap, Magbia b'shteyad, if he lifts it with both hands, which the Aruch HaNer says a reason for that way he lifts it as high as possible. Kshumake, and when he hits with it, Maka b'yoda achas, he hits with one hand. Kiheicha d'leisa mididay, this way it'll come from his own strength. So there's a different gears over here, not mididay, but megazia, meaning with great strength. Like this, if he does it with both hands, it's hard to coordinate. No, it's hard to coordinate to make sure that both of your hands are doing exactly the same thing at the same time. So it might not be as strong as it could be. You do it with one hand, then for sure it's going to be coordinated and he's going to give it as strong as possible.
Through the cold with one hand, not with two hands. Cool.
This is true, right? Not the coals, but yeah, the soot that he threw up into the air to start Makas Shchein. That's true. He threw it with one hand. Yeah, maybe for the same reason. Yeah, could be. All right.
But when you throw in the air.
No, but it's the same thing. In other words, when you throw something with one hand versus two hands, we learned a similar thing in Sanhedrin. We had a similar thing in Sanhedrin about when the Edom dropped the rock on the guy who's Chayim Tehillah. We said that, you have both of them hold it, then you have one of them moves out his hand, and the other one drops it. That way it goes the maximum amount of strength for the same reason. If you have two people, they're not necessarily going to coordinate it to throw it at the exact same millisecond. Okay. Okay, we said in the Mishnah that the one who's reading the Pesukim reads, and we quoted in the Mishnah four Pesukim that he quotes. Tanan Rabbanan, so we learn in a Braisa of the details. Like Gadol Shabadayanim Kore, the greatest of the Dayanim, remember you need at least three, we learned at the beginning of Sanhedrin, a Macholikus, whether you need 3 or 23 Dayanim for Malkus, but whether it's 3 or 23, either way, you have three of the Dayanim have jobs. A Gadol Shabadayanim Kore, the greatest among them reads the Pesukim. A sheni moine, the second one counts, 1, 2, 3, etc. Vashlishi oimer hakehu, the third one says each time hit it. So this way they keep track of it.
We need the third one to
tell him to hit him, because in other words, let's say, for example, as we're going to see further along, there can be cases where the guy becomes potter in the middle. We already learned about some of that before. We saw that he's not going to be able to survive it. We're going to talk about other examples soon.
The second one can say...
the second one is counting, so they don't get mixed up. There's less mixed up. It is true that the Chazan HaKnesset still has to keep track of things himself, which is why we said in the Mishnah that if he gives one extra and the guy dies, then he goes at the Golos. So he himself is expected to keep track, which again goes back to what Chachamim versus Rabbi Yehuda were arguing about, whether he needs to be a Seirei Mada, does he need to be an intelligent guy or not.
Why do we call him the Chazan?
So the Rivan actually says, I don't understand where we get the words Chazan from. He says, Lo Shamaiti by Shum Mashmos, he says on the Mishnah, that I haven't heard any meaning of it.
He's repeating.
Chazan doesn't mean over here. No, so as it brings over here from the Marashal, that it's Meloshin Choizek Pirish Royat Sarcheir. That's the person in charge of looking after the affairs of the city. So in this case, it's like a bailiff of Beis Din, whose job it is to oversee things that need to be overseen. Anyway. All right. So, okay. Mizman Shemakim Meruva. Now, if the guy is getting a lot of Malkus, for example, he's getting the full 39. Marich, then the one who's saying the psukim takes his time saying the psukim. Bizman shemaka mu'etet, whereas if it's going to be a smaller amount of maka, if he's going to get Let's say, for example, 36 or fewer makasa, then he has to do it faster in order to finish all the psukim before the malchus finishes. Okay, the question is, what do you mean that marich makasa?
Right.
Our Mishnah had said that if he finishes the four psukim, then he just starts over from the beginning. So who cares whether he does it short or long or not? The answer is mitzvah l'tzamtzim. The ideal way to do it is that you time it so that the psukim end as the malchus is ending. Eli Simpson, if he didn't do that, if he didn't do it at the right speed, then he starts over again if necessary.
That way the person realizes how many more markers he's going to be getting.
Maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know. Probably not, though, because Machapila, when they make the Oved, I'm sure they inform the guy that he's going to get.
And I don't think he's hearing too much with all those.
This is probably also true. Turn on a bottom. We learn in a Braisa. So when the Pasuk says that he shouldn't give him Mako Rabo. The Pasuk says Lo Yosef, he should not give him extra beyond the 39. Pen Yosef La Kosei Ale La Mako Rabo, because otherwise he might give him over it a great number of blows. So Ainli Ale Mako Rabo. Based on that, if you only had those words in the Pasuk, you would only know that he's over on this issue if he gives him many more blows. Mako Mu'etis Minayin. How do we know the same thing applies even if he only gives him a few more? So the Rivan uses the expression if he gives him, let's say, one or two extra. And the explanation of that is, Acharonim explain, like this. We learned in a previous Mishnah, let's say for example, the doctors check the guy out, and they find the maximum he's going to be able to get is 20 malchus. So now we say we don't give him 20, because he only has to give a number that's divisible by 3. So in that case, we round it down to 18. So the point of it is like this. Obviously, we would know from the psukim that if you gave him then 21, for sure you've been over, because you gave him more than he was evaluated to get. Like this, you're taking the chance on killing him. You might even end up going to Golos if he ends up dying of it. How do we know that not only you're not allowed to do that, but you're not even allowed to give him 19 or 20, where you would argue, so what? I'm still giving him within the evaluation. How do we know that that's also also? Talmud Lomar Lo Yosef. Therefore, the pasuk says he should not add, meaning you don't add anything to what was decided by Beis Din. Beis Din decided he's going to get 18 because the evaluation was 20 and we have to round down. That's it. You, the Chazan HaKnesses, or Beis Din for that matter, is not allowed to add even one single one to that. And if you do, you're over on a lot.
Why doesn't the Beis Din round it down? What do they have to tell us to win? Let them go as 18.
That's the point. In other words, the Beis Din rounds it down. They're going to tell the guy, we're going to count up to 18, and you're going to follow. He's not allowed to give anything extra. But they themselves are not allowed to decide to give him anything extra either. Im kein matam alema maka rabba. So in that case, why does the pasuk bother mentioning the words maka rabba? If you can't even give him a small amount of extra blows, what's the point of mentioning that you might give him a large amount? Limidala Rashana, Shane Makaraba. From here we learn that the earlier blows have to be Makaraba. They have to be very powerful blows. In other words, like we said before, that you do have to make sure that the blows up until that point, the makas up until that point, are as hard as possible. That's why we said that's why you do it with one hand. That's why you have him stand on a stone. So up until the 18 or whatever it is number that he's going to be getting has to be makaraba.
Right.
Has to be as strong blows as possible.
And then?
Beyond that, you're not even allowed to give him anything extra. When the prophet says you shouldn't give him makaraba, doesn't imply you're not allowed to give him many more blows, not even allowed to give him one extra blow, but it means you should be aware that the ones up until this point are supposed to be very powerful blows. There's an interesting explanation I saw also. The Rambam summarizes how many mitzvahs loiseth there are there where a person can get malchus. Altogether, there are 207. Well, 207 is the gematria of the word rabba. So therefore, the pasuk is hinting over here that the number of cases where a person can get maka is rabba, 207. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, in the Skalka before, then we had a case in the Mishnah like this. When the guy is getting the malchus, if he's the Skalka, if he gets degraded in that he loses control of his body and he urinates or defecates while he's getting the malchus. So we had two opinions in the Mishnah. The Tanakhama had said whether he urinates or whether he defecates, either way he's potter from malchus at that point because he's had his bizayon. Rabbi Huda says it depends. If he's a man, you need him to defecate. Only that would be enough of a bizayon for him. If it's a woman, even if she just urinated, that would be enough that she's now potter. So now we're going to learn some details about that. This is a third opinion, which we didn't yet have in the Mishnah, that whether it's a man or a woman, either way, they only become potter if they suffered, if they evacuated re'i, if they excreted, if they defecated, v'loy b'mayim, not if they just urinated. That's not enough to pass to them. That's Rav Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Aymah Ish Biri Va Ish B'Mayim. Rabbi Yehuda says, like he said in the Mishnah, for a man you need Ri, for a woman it's enough Mayim. And the Chachamim say, which was the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, that whether it's a man, yeah, they're the most maple, whether it's a man or a woman, they suffered from, they had Ri, or they had Mayim, either way, they're pastor from Malchus at that point. Okay, the problem with that is, we have a braith that where Rabbi Yehuda says whether a man or a woman is Ri, is only if they defecated, implying that if they just urinated, they're not. And the Mishnah and in the first braith, Rabbi Yehuda said that if a woman urinated, that would be enough. The answer is, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchok, Shneim Shavim Ri. All the second braitha wants to point out is that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that they're both equal in that if either one of them suffers and Ri comes out, then they're potter at that point. In the second braitha, Rabbi Yehuda is not getting into the details between men and women. He's just pointing out Ri is enough to potter either a man or a woman.
Who's the busher to this?
The busher is to the person getting the mouth.
Not to the other people, they're locked up because they see what's going on. They don't know if she...
It cannot be
implicated.
No, but we're talking about he does it right there in Beis Din, in view of the Dayanim, in view of the Chazan,
so
and whatever.
So they see
her, yes, yeah, and that's enough. We're bizarre for him. We said the point is, the point of Malchus is to be revised at him like this. He had his bizarre.
There's no one else attending.
So yeah, I guess not. Oh, so now more dinim on this. Omar Shmuel, Kfasuhu, if they tied him to the post, the Rotmi Beis Din, and he ran away from Beis Din. He cut the ropes and ran away. Potter, then he's Potter from Malchus. Yeah. And apparently the idea is because the running away from Beis Din itself is enough of a bizarre for him. We're actually going to learn in a few weeks in Shavuos. We're going to learn that the Gemara is going to take up that point also. That yeah, the
everybody's going to run away.
Well, it could be, but never what.
Doesn't have certain clothes on, right?
He has his clothes have been ripped off his upper body, yeah, but he's running away, yeah, so I guess that's part of the bizarre also, yeah. Maisvi, the Gemara says, although I have a contradiction, a braita says like this, kola, if the person suffered their embarrassment, kola is the same lashon as in the Mishnah, and it's skalkel, meaning that he lost control of his body and then urinated or defecated. Bein v'rishona, bein v'shnia, whether on the first one or the second one. What is the first one or the second one? The Rivan says the first one means before they started hitting him at all. The second one means after they hit him at least once. The Ritva argues on that and says, no, Rishona and Shnia means the first time they hit, after the first time they hit him versus the second time they hit him. According to the Ritva, if he were to lose control before they actually started hitting him, then the dinim we're talking about over here wouldn't apply. Yeah,
he'd still be higher,
right. So the poetry notes, so we say whether it was Rishona or Bashnia, then we patter him. And, continues the Braisa, Nifsika Ritzua, if the strap itself broke, Bashnia Poturinoi, so if it was the second time, then we patter him. But Rishona in Poturinoi, so if it's the first time, then we don't. So again, according to the Rivan, first and second would be, like we said before, the first time that they lifted it up to start hitting him, but they didn't actually do anything yet. The second time would mean they're picking it up for the second time after having hit him one time. According to the Ritva, it would mean respectively after the first time they hit him or after the second time they hit him. Whatever, if the strap itself broke, if it was the second time Poturinoise, but a Shona in Poturinoise, but if it happened the first time, then we don't pater him. So the question is, why should we say that if it happened the first time, why should we not pater him? Levi Karot. Wouldn't it be the equivalent of him running away from basting?
How could it be the equivalent of him?
Because you're saying if he ran away and didn't get any Malchus, then he's potter. Well, by the same logic, if the strap broke before they could give him any Malchus, he should also be potter. And yet you're saying that if he
broke because when the time he got a Malchus.
No, but again, we said Rishona in Poturinoise. If they lifted up the strap the first time to start hitting him and nothing happened yet, the strap broke before they before they actually hit him, we're saying that in Poturinoise.
Right.
But on the other hand, if he ran away also without getting Malchus, we say Shmuel was saying you do potter him. So what's the difference? The answer is that's the difference. Hasam rot, hachalai rot. The difference is over there he ran away, and the running itself away is a bizoyan. Here he didn't run away. He didn't yet have his bizoyan. Yes, he had the beginning of it, okay, because they ripped off his clothing, but they didn't have the level of bizoyan yet that would capture him from Malchus yet. Turn up on him. Amdu l'chshiyilke kola, if they evaluated him that as soon as he starts getting Malchus, he is immediately going to be kala. He's immediately going to lose control. Hoytrinoi say, then we patter him. Then we say that we don't give him. This is how the Rivon explains it. We'll talk afterwards. The Rambam understands it a little bit different. The Rivon understands it like this: that Amduhu, if they evaluate him, Lichshiyoka Kola, that as soon as they start giving him Malkus, as soon as they give him the first blow, he is going to lose control of his bowels. Then Poitrinoisa, then we pastor him and we don't give him Malkus, then we don't give him Malkus to begin with. We don't give him Malkus in such a way where we know that the result of it is going to be that Benikla, that he's going to be embarrassed by losing control of his bowels.
So it's not, he didn't have any desire.
But that's the point. Well, then in that case, but we can't give him Malkus under such conditions. If we only, on the other hand, if the evaluation, if the doctors tell us that the guy, after he gets Malkus, later on, when he leaves Basedin, he's going to, at that point, the pain is going to overwhelm him and he's going to lose control. Then, Malkinoi say, then we do give him Malkus and we don't worry about what's going to happen after that. So if the evaluation is that as soon as we start giving him Malkus, he's going to be Kola, then we can't give him Malkus. The doctors determine. I don't know. They give the guy a physical and they determine that that's the kind of guy he is. I don't know.
You're a doctor yourself. You know.
Yeah.
You cannot tell if you hit
okay. I don't know. They evaluate the guy. I don't know. Maybe they also bring in psychiatrists to evaluate how he is mentally. I don't know. Whatever it is. So, yeah.
The Malke himself must be an expert. He knows all these people. He knows what these people.
He has problems with his mother. Okay, don't hit him.
Yeah. Whatever. Okay. So again, according to the Rivon, what the Gemara means over here is like this: that if we know that as soon as he starts getting Malkus, he's going to be Kola, then we don't give him Malkus. However, if we're saying that only once he leaves Basedin he's going to be Kola, then that's not reason enough to pass him from Malkus. He's still going to get his Malkus. We don't worry about what's going to happen after that.
What about bleeding?
Bleeding, of course. If a person gets Malkus, of necessity, they're going to bleed. That's not the issue.
No, but if he bleeds profusely...
That doesn't matter. That's part of the evaluation, is whether he's going to survive it, is how much blood he can lose and still live through it. That has nothing to do. Kola over here specifically means losing control of his bodily functions.
So,
Valoya, right?
Not a busha, or is it because it's after the Malkus?
Because it's after the Malkus, therefore we don't worry about it. Yeah. Valoya, and not only that, Ela afila kola batchila. Let's say, for example, he lost control beforehand, before they even started hitting him at all. Even so, Malkinoi say they still give him the Malkus after that. Because the pasuk says they hit him and then v'nikla, v'loisha loka kvarva basedin, implying that we're not talking about that he already was, that he was already struck or that he was already embarrassed in basedin. So according to the girsa that we have in front of us, and this is how the Rivon explains it, is we have three possibilities. They might evaluate that he'll be kola before anything happens. That's not reason enough to pass to him. They might evaluate that he'll be kola after everything is over. Also not a reason to pass to him. Or it may happen that he does it in the middle. They evaluate that it'll happen as soon as he starts getting the Malkus. That is reason to pass to him. That's how the Rivon learns it. The Rambam apparently had a different girsa and learns it somewhat and learns it somewhat differently. He says that what it is if he's kola beforehand, then if he's kola from beforehand, or lachshiyosim abeistin doesn't mean, like the Rivon explains, when he leaves Basedin after the fact, after having received the Malkus, it means after they sentenced him and said he's going to get Malkus, if at that point kola, still, that's not reason enough to pass it. The only way he would be potter is, as the Mishnah said, if it happened during.
Right.
But according to the Rambam, it's not really a question of whether they were oimid. Our girsa in the Gemara over here is amduhu, that when he's going to get Malkus Kola, and that's the way he reasoned enough to pass it. The Rambam's girsa is not that you're asking how could they evaluate in advance that this is going to happen. The Rambam Taka doesn't learn that way. He says it's strictly what actually happens during the Malkus. If they evaluate that as a result of it, he's going to be Kola, doesn't matter. The evaluations don't count as far as that. We give him the Malkus, and whatever happens, happens. Yeah. Yeah. Mishnah says, Kol chai v'krisis shalohu, anybody who is chai of kores who gets Malkus, nifturi yidei krisat them, are now potter from their kores. It's actually a machlokes rishonim. Does it mean automatically, as soon as he gets the Malkus, he will automatically be potter from kores? This is, I think, how the Baal Amara learns. Or does it mean...
The
Beis Yosef, where does the Beis Yosef talk about it? And then Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, could be. The other. I mean, we don't do.
I might
nowadays.
Be.
Okay.
I might be. Wrong.
Okay. So you have two different opinions. One is it only helps with tshuva, and the other is it helps even without tshuva. To be potter from kares through getting malchus, does it require that the guy also does tshuva, or is it just that the malchus alone is enough to potter him? Yeah.
In any case, the person doesn't know.
This is true, and we're going to mention that on Amud Beis. However, it's interesting. The Aruch HaNer points out there is a practical nafkamina for it in halacha. Namely, if a person did an avera that's chayav kares, and we know that he's potter la'edus. If we say now he's potter from kares as a result of the malchus, then he's kosher la'edus again. So it becomes important to know. Yeah. So
well,
therefore, it's important to know whether he's potter.
Big debate when they were trying to bring back the smicha.
Aha. Yes. As a matter of fact, that's it. Yes. Thank you for mentioning that. I did mean to bring that up. Yes. I think we're all broadly familiar with the famous story that happened almost 500 years ago, where Rabbi Yaakov Beirav, one of the Rebbeim of the Beis Yosef, wanted to reestablish the smicha, the real smicha, ish mikiyish,
right.
And he got together the Rabbanim of Tzfat, which at that time was most of the Rabbanim of Eretz Yisrael, and they all agreed to do it, and they were Somech him, and he was Somech a couple of other people. There's a number of famous Rabbanim of that period who received the smicha, the Beit Yosef himself. The Arizal, I think, received it in the next generation. Reb Chaim Vital, I think, a number of others. So what happened, actually? So the Rabbach, Reb Levi ben Chaviv, the Rav of Yerushalayim at that time, strongly argued against it on a number of grounds, and that's because of that, that Abbas, who was the Rav of Mitzrayim at that time, also was against it. So the upshot is it lasted for some time, but eventually it fell into disuse. So what happened? What was the Ma'arib Beirav's reasoning? Why Taka he wanted to reestablish the smicha? Well, he had a number of reasons. One of them is it'll be a preparation for Mashiach's time. But practically speaking, there was also the matter of he held like this. You had at that period of time, this is in the 1530s, 1540s, you had many anusim, you had many people who had been in Spain and had pretended to be Christians, and then secretly they were Jews. Eventually they managed to get out of there. Now they wanted to do tshuva. They had been over on various things that made them chayav kares, and they wanted to now get malchus. Only a basis in the
I mean, to be honest.
One second. So the part of the machlokas between the Ma'arib Beirav and the Rabbah was on question. We're saying over here, if somebody gets malchus, they're potter from kares. Is that even if they come voluntarily and say to Beis Din, I did something that's chayav kares, please give me malchus, or is it only if Edim come to Beis Din and give edus on him, which wouldn't happen with these anusim? You didn't have Edim like that. So that was part of the argument. Ma'arib Beirav held the first way, so therefore it'll be very good to reestablish smicha. That way we can give these people malchus, potter them from kares, and that's that.
Well,
we're
good on that. Full malchus?
Yeah, however much they can take.
If they volunteered.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would have volunteered.
Okay, but whereas the Rabbah disagreed, among other things, the Rabbah disagreed with the Ma'arib Beirav on a number of grounds. But one of his grounds was, what good is it going to do anyway? You can't give people malchus just because they walk into Beis Din and say, I want malchus. You need Eidim Vahasra, an old 9 yards, and you don't have that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why I was saying that the Beis Yosef thought about the
So I don't know if the Beis Yosef talks about it, and if he does, maybe he talks about it in his shul. So the Beis Yosef was one of the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael at that period. Yeah, he just finished writing the Beis Yosef a few years before that. He hadn't yet written the Shulchan Aruch, but yeah, he was one of the he was one of the middle aged Talmid Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael at that time. He was a generation younger than Ma'arib Beirav. Okay, anyway. Shenema, the pasuk says, "V'nikla achicha la'inecha." The pasuk says, "Your brother will be degraded in your eyes," implying shaloka hareyuka achicha. As soon as he gets malchus, as soon as he's degraded, he's your brother again. So the point is, before that, the pasukim are calling him a rasha. V'hoyim bin akosa rasha. All of a sudden, now after he gets malchus, he's called achicha because that's he had his kapara. So again, you have the machlokas says it required tshuva or not for yet. Okay. Divir Rav Hanani ben Gamliel. This is what Rav Hanani ben Gamliel says. We're going to see in the Gemara not everybody agrees with him. But Amr of Hanani ben Gamliel, then Rav Hanani ben Gamliel says in this connection, think of it, make a kavachomer. Ma ima oiva avera achas noitel napshelea. Ma doch a person does one avera and his soul can be, his life can be taken away from him for it. Because after all, he's getting malchus. And we learned before, conceivably, a person could die from malchus. Yes, they make the evaluation. Yes, they do whatever. Still nevertheless, they can still kill him, yeah.
We
said also in Sanhedrin that it's like, we have mali kapla pog, mali kapla kula, it's halfway to death, yeah. Ha'osim mitzvah, that's well then, Rav Hanani ben Gamliel continues, if somebody does one single mitzvah, alach kama v'kama, shekinosam l'nafshe, how much more so that his life should be given back to him. The Bar Tanura, by the way, says a very interesting thing on this. What is the mitzvah? First of all, because, you know, Midah Tovah is always better. But the Bar Tanura on this Mishnah, no. That he gets back his life. But the Bar Tanura says specifically, what is the mitzvah achas over here? This is a direct continuation of what Rav Hananel ben Gamliel was saying, that a person gets malchus, he's potter from karis. What is the one mitzvah that he did? That he submitted to the Beis Din and received malchus. As opposed to what we just said, the guy cuts the ropes and runs away.
He didn't.
Instead, he submitted to the authority of Beis Din and got his patch. Well, therefore, that's the mitzvah, and that's what saves his life.
Yeah. So you're malchus, you're pretty good. So really at that point also.
Maybe, I don't know. Okay. Rav Shimon
Noam Mimokot. Did they have to say Vidui?
I don't know. It's a good question. We know that the Chayvim Mis is based. They had to say Vidui. We learned that in Sanhedrin. Did the Chayvim Malkus have to? Since he could. Maybe they made them say Vidui. I have no idea. I don't think it says one way or the other. Okay. Rav Shimon Noam Mimokomehu Lomid. Rav Shimon says you don't even need to learn from a different source. You can see it from the very place where the Torah talks about Chorus. The Potter says that the people who do things that are chayav karis, in particular it says in connection with arayas, somebody who does arayas is chayav karis. But Omer and Uliu in that same section, in that same section in Parshas Akramos, it says Ashayasa Oisama Odom Machaibahem. It says that these are the mitzvahs that a person should do them and live through them. And what is that? That's an introduction to Parshas Arayas. Parshas Arayas are not something that you do, it's something that you don't do. Ha, so we learn from this, kola yoshev lo over avera, if somebody sits and does not do an avera, meaning he had a yetzahara for it, he really wanted to do it, but he refrains from doing it because Hashem said so, noisim lo yishchav, ka oisim mitzvah, and he's given a schav equivalent to somebody who actually did a mitzvah.
He did a mitzvah.
But in other words, there's doing a mitzvah saseh, they're doing a mitzvah saseh and bringing in chassidish terms, bringing down an ur into this world.
Okay.
In this case, the person refrained from doing a mitzvah lo saseh, he refrained from creating a pagam in the world, but because he refrained from it, not, as the Rambam phrases it, he didn't refrain from it because he's too weak or because he doesn't have a taiva for it or whatever.
Right.
He has a tremendous taiva for it. He has the ability, he has the ability, he has the opportunity, he has everything, but he doesn't do it because Hashem said so. So then he gets a schal ka'os a mitzvah, the equivalent of doing a mitzvah that day. Tell you an interesting thing, by the way. You know, on the end of the Omer, we're going to mention the same things. On the end of the Omer, we say there's a famous thing that there's 365 mitzvahs loisas there, corresponding to the 365 days of the year. The Sefer Ikrim says an interesting vote on that relates back to what we're saying in the Mishnah. He says like this, why are we comparing the mitzvahs loisas there to time, to the 365 days of the year?
Wow.
He says like this, think of it like this. Time, so what do you have? You have the past, you have the present, and you have the future. What is the present exactly? Can you really define what the present is? As soon as you talk about it, it's the past. And if you're talking about it a little bit in advance, then it's the future. There is really no present. Nevertheless, all those presents add up to a something. They add up to a significant chunk of time. In the same way, all the mitzvahs, you would think it's a not doing anything. It's a negative. How can a bunch of negatives add up to a positive? Nonetheless, they do.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Okay. The Shimon Bar Rebbe. Well, this is also right. For Hashem, it's all past, present, and future. But for us, human beings, it's all. Reb Shimon Bar Rebbe Omer. Here's another example. He says, "Harehu Omer." You have a look. You have a pasuk that says like this: "Rak Chazak Levilti Achol Adam." Only you should be strong not to eat blood. Ki Adamu Anafresh Vegami, because blood is the soul, and therefore you're not allowed to eat it. So he says, "Uma im Adam Shenafshe Shalom Katzim Menu Madach blood, which a normal person is disgusted by the idea of eating it in the first place, and yet Hapodesh Menu, somebody who stays away from it, Makabel Schar, he receives a reward from Hashem." Because the pasuk says, the pasuk continues over there after it warns you not to eat blood. It warns you, "Lo Techlenu Laman Yitab Lachol Vanecha Acharecha," so it'll be good for you and your children after you. So a person gets a tremendous reward just for staying away from something which a normal person would be repulsed by anyway. Well then, gezel v'arayis, so then how much more so a person refrains from gezel and arayis, shenach sheshalotim mis'av alahenim hamad zon, where a person has a tremendous taiva for them and desires them, a Kurdish man, so again, somebody who stays away from them because Hashem said so, alachas kama v'kama, how much more so she is, geloyo l'daraisov, or deris deraisov, adsoy kwa deris, how much more so that he gets his chutz for himself and the generations after him, adsoy kwa deris to the end of all time. And now we have the famous thing, Rav Hanani ben Akasha, and Rotza HaKadosh, we say it at the end of Pirkei Avos, Rotza HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zakas Yisrael, Hashem wanted to give the Jewish people a great amount of schos, l'fichach hirbo lehem Torah mitzvahs, therefore he gave them a lot of Torah and mitzvahs. Shenema, the passage says, Hashem chafet v'man tzitzoy, Hashem desired in order that the Jewish people should be tzaddikim, that we should be righteous, yagdol Torah v'yadu, therefore he made the Torah great and glorious. meaning in the
word.
L'man Tzidko, so L'man Tzidko can have a double meaning. On the surface, it means because Hashem is a tzaddik,
right.
But on a deeper meaning, on another level, it also means that Hashem wanted us to be tzaddikim. There's actually a sicha, one of the sichas on Pirkei Avos, where they never talked about it and connected the two things. It's both. You know, the question is. The Rebbe says, why did there have to be 613 specific mitzvahs? Later on, we're going to learn that the David HaMelech summarized the mitzvahs under 11 headings, and Habakkuk under Yeshaya under 6, and Habakkuk under 1, etc. Why couldn't Hashem have just given one big mitzvah or a small number of mitzvahs? And basically, the idea is because he wanted to give us as many as he wanted to maximize our opportunities for making the world into a Didah B'Tachtonim. So therefore, it's both because Hashem is a tzaddik, Laman Tzidkoi, because he is tzaddik, and he wanted the world to be a dirab tzaddikim, and because he wanted us to be tzaddikim and help him in that. So what's the connection?
Like a sealed Gemara.
So we'll get there. But the context of this that Rav Chanan ben Akashi is saying, the Rivan says, is like this. We just described how, for example, let's say there's a mitzvah not to eat blood, and a person gets a reward when he refrains from eating blood because Hashem said so. So but in the same vein, Hashem gave us many kinds of mitzvahs like that, where on the face of it, you shouldn't need a mitzvah. It should be a natural human thing not to do it. But Hashem gave us those mitzvahs in order to give us extra opportunities for credit, for tzchus, yeah, when we stay away from them. Other Rishonim talk about more generally, the Rambam, for example, talks about the idea that it means that Hashem gave us many different areas of life to be able to do mitzvahs. There's an idea that Meforshim talk about that for example, this way every person has their one mitzvah that kind of appeals to them. That a person, we all know their favorite mitzvah. But we also know, for example, in Chassidus, we talk about there's the expression in the Gemara and Shabbos that one Amorah says to another, Avuch b'may have a zahir tfei, which mitzvah was your father most careful in? And the Chassidus, it talks about zahir is also in the Lashon shining. Which mitzvah, when your father did it, did his neshama shine most brightly? So every person has their own individual mitzvah that most is connected with their neshama, and therefore the Eibishter gave us many different kinds of mitzvahs in order that each person has their own area to shine in and to elevate the world and themselves.
How does that relate to the person who's saying his father?
Well, in that case, he was asking about his father, but the same thing would be the person himself. Yeah. So, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, so the Gemara says, Rabbi Yechanan says, this that was saying in the Mishnah, that Rav Chanani ben Gamliel said, that anybody who gets Malkus is potter from Koresh, Chalukin Olav Chaver of Rav Chanani ben Gamliel. The other Chachamim disagree with Rav Chanani ben Gamliel. Now, we had, at the beginning of the Perek, we had a three-way Machloikus, what kinds of Averis get Malkus. We had over there Rabbi Yitzchak who said that you don't get Malkus for things that are Chayiv Koresh. So according to him, for sure, the statement of Rabbi Chanani ben Gamliel doesn't work, because he wouldn't be getting Malkus for such things anyway. But then we had Rabbi Akiva, who says that you do, and Rabbi Shmuel, who said that you can even get Malkus for things that otherwise would be Chayiv Mitzvos based in. Even they, who hold that it's possible to get Malkus for Chayiv Krisis, even they disagree with Rabbi Chanani ben Gamliel of what he said in Or Mishnah, that if you get Malkus, then you potter from Koresh. Amr of Adar Ba'Ava. Well, wait. Omer of Adar Ba'Ava, Amri Be'Rav, so Rav Adar Ba'Ava says, they said in the yeshiva of Rav as follows. So one way of understanding is that Rav Adar Ba'Ava is going to bring a proof to what Rav Yechanan is saying from a Mishnah. The other way of looking at it is he's asking, why does Rav Yechanan need to say this if we ourselves can see it from a different Mishnah? Namely, a Mishnah says in Masecht Megillah, says Ein Ben Shabbos Liyem Tanenon. We learn in a Mishnah Ein Ben Shabbos Liyem Kippurim. There is no difference as far as the severity of punishment between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Now, obviously, there are many differences. You fast on Yom Kippur, you don't fast on Shabbos. But as far as punishment, there's no difference. Elo Shazez Doni B'Dei Adam. The only difference is that Shabbos, you break the mezid, you're punished B'Dei Adam by Beis Din, you get skila. Vizeh, whereas Yom Kippur is Doni B'Dei Kares. If you violate the Zodin, the mezid, you get Kares. That's what the Mishnah says. So now the question is,
the
Adam means that you get punished by human hand, meaning by basic, as opposed to Bikari. The problem is, if you're going to tell me that, that anybody who's high of Koris can get Malkus and be potter from it, I'd be Bidei Adam, that it comes out either Shabbos or Yom Kippur, the punishment would be Bidei Adam. So if the Mishnah is saying not like that, obviously it must mean that there are other opinions that say that doesn't work like it says in our Mishnah. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, not necessarily, because you could say that that Mishnah in Megillah is taka like Rav Yitzchak. D'amar, where he said at the beginning of our parak, Malkus Machayve Krisus Leka, that when it comes to people who are Chayav Karis, they don't get Malkus. So therefore, according to him, there's no possibility. You break Yom Kippur, you don't get Malkus. You eat Chelev, you don't get Malkus. There you go then. There's no way a person broke Yom Kippur is going to get Malkus. It's only going to be Behikaris. And we said the Tanya, as we learned in a Braisa, which we learned at the beginning of the parak, we learned a week and a half ago. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer Chayve Krisus Bechlal Hoyu. Rabbi Yitzchak had said that you have a general statement about Chayve Krisus, namely the Torah says at the end of Parshas Arayas in Parshas Achrimos that anybody who violates any of these is going to get Kares. V'lama Yotzes Kares V'achos. So why does the Torah single out and specifically mention in Parshas Kedoshim that a man is Mizana with a sister, he gets Kares? Laduna is a Kares, both Kares V'leva Malkus. He says that comes. It's one of those dover shahoyah b'chlal v'yotzim in a klal olamid. So it teaches us on the whole klal that it means that he gets only kares but not malchus, and therefore that applies to any chayv kares.
That's why it's separate.
That's why it lists. That's why it mentions it specifically by achoyse to teach us not to teach us by achoyse it's only kares not malchus, and therefore the same is true of any other chayv kares. It's only kares not malchus. That's our Rabbi Yitzchak loads it over there. And then we went through a whole sugya over there where the Chachamim learned that the word achoyser over there was needed for a different purpose.
But if you separate it to say in that specific case you get karet and you don't get malkus, it would mean that
then it would mean
the other one.
No, it would mean we learn from that one to all the other ones. If it wasn't meant to learn, then the Torah would have mentioned it by two cases. If the Torah had mentioned by two of the arayas, then you'd have shneik suma boim kachod. Yeah.
One.
Yeah.
You apply
it to all of them. Tosfos, by the way, learned over there what Rabbi Yitzchak says a little bit differently. Tosfos understood Rabbi Yitzchak to be saying like this. If it weren't for the statement by Achoso, you would say in general, okay, look, anybody who's over on a lav gets Malkus, therefore that includes anybody who's over on a lav that gets Kores. But then why does it mention Kores only by his sister to tell us Kores only, not Malkus? It comes out to the same thing. It's just a different way of understanding what Rabbi Yitzchak is saying. Either way, so that Mishnah in Megillah can be going like Rabbi Yitzchak. Rav Ashi Yomar Filo Temer Rabbanon. Rav Ashi says you don't even have to say that. You could even say the Mishnah in Megillah goes according to the Rabbanon, namely Rav Akiva or Rav Yishmael, or Rav Hanani ben Gamliel for that matter. And all it means is Ze Iker Zdoni B'Dei Odom Ze Iker Zdoni B'Dei Shemayim. The difference is what it means is when it comes to Shabbos, the main punishment is B'Dei Odom. The main punishment is Skila. The main punishment for breaking Yom Kippur is B'Dei Shemayim is Kari. Yes, it is possible to get Malkus, but Kares is stronger than Malkus. If the person were to do it without Hasra, he wouldn't be getting Malkus, he'd only be getting Kares. So therefore we go according to the main thing. That's the Rivan brings out of the first explanation from his Rebbe. Then he says the second explanation is Iker Zdone means that you start out with getting Kares, and if you don't get Malkus, then you're gonna get Kares. He says that not really, one comes before the other, according to the Rabbanon, according to the Akiva. According to Rabbi Akiva and according to Rabbi Shmuel, the two chiyum of them, Malkus and Kares, come at the same time.
Right.
So it's not really a question of one coming before the other. So that's why he prefers the first explanation, that it means that the main punishment, the kind of default punishment sort of is going to be Kares. Okay, if there was Asra, yes, you could conceivably get Malkus and be part of from Kares, but that's less likely, basically. So that Mishnah doesn't necessarily contradict ours, and it means, in other words, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that the other Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Hanani ben Gamliel. We can't necessarily prove it from that Mishnah in Megillah. There are other opinions other than Rabbi Hanani ben Gamliel. So Rabbi Yochanan had good reason to say what he said.
Because
we said that Mishnah could be saying that the main thing for breaking Yom Kippur, the main punishment is Kares. Yes, you could conceivably get Malkus instead, but it's less likely. Yeah. Okay. Amar Rav Ada Ba'ava, Amar Rav, Halacha k'Rav Hanani ben Gamliel. The Halacha is like Rav Hanani ben Gamliel. Person gets Malkus, they're potter from Kares. What do you mean, Halacha? Amar Rav Yosef, Man Solik La'ela V'Asav Amar. What do you mean? Who went up to Shemayim and came back and said that Hashem said now he's potter from Kares? Kares is something in Hashem's hands. How do you decide Halacha on that? Amalei Abaye, Abaye answers him, Ella, knew, if you're going to argue like that, what about Hada Amar Rabbi Yishur ben Levi, this that Rabbi Yishur ben Levi said, which we're going to quote in full in a couple of lines.
That
yeah, he's going to say, you're wondering Rabbi Yosef, how you could paskin on such a thing. Why not? We have another example from this that Rabbi Shurban Levi said, which we're going to quote in full in a couple of lines. Shloisha Dvarim also based in Shalmata. There are three takonis that based in Shalmata that the based in on earth did. The skimu based in Shalmaila Yodam. And we find based in Shalmaila agreed that what they did is valid. You could ask the same thing. Man Solik La'el of Asabamar. Who went up to Shemayim and reported what the based in Shalmaila decided? Ella Kroy Kadarshin, and obviously what it is, how do we know? Because we're able to darshin from the psukim, which the psukim are given the nevuah and the ruach hakodesh, and from them we can deduce what based in Shamayla decided. Hachinami Kroy Kadarshin, and the same thing. Rabbi Hanani ben Gamliel is able to darshin, and we are able to darshin based on psukim that yes, what we said in the Mishnah that the nikla achicha la'inecha, that as soon as he is degraded by getting malchus, then immediately he's achicha. So we were able to darshan that, and therefore, yes, we're able to say that the based in Shalmaila will pater him from Karis.
That's Goof. Only if he's Nikla.
Yeah, well, that's what we said. As long as he gets Malkus or Kola or whatever the various details are, yeah. Okay. Goofa. So now getting back to what we just said, let's analyze it. Amar Rabbi Shurban Levi. Shloisha Dvarim also based in Shalmata. We said there were three takanas that based in here on earth made. The skimo based in Shalmaila Yodam, and the based in Shalmaila agreed that what they did is valid. Eluhain, and they are as follows. Nikra Megillah, laning the Megillah on Purim, this that you have a chiyu to read and to hear the Megillah. Ush'elas Shalom B'Shem. Number two, greeting each other with Hashem's name. And number three, the havas meiser, and number three, bringing meiser. So bringing meiser, so first of all, shelas shalom b'shem. The Rivan points out like this. So first of all, so the Ritzvah says there's a chiddush in each one of these things. There's a reason why we have to say them is because each one of them you would have thought maybe it's being over on something in the Torah. Mikra megillah on the face of it is bal tosef. If you're adding a mitzvah to the Torah, but Hashem, but the base Hashem and the base of Shamayla agreed that it's a valid thing to do. Sheilas Shalom B'Shem, you would think there's a problem if, here the Rivan says, you would think there's a problem you're using Hashem's name in vain. No, the based in Shalmaila agreed that it's valid.
How
do we know that? We'll see in a minute. We're going to prove
it. But you don't announce Hashem's name when you say Yassim Hashem Alecha Shalom.
Ah, for one second. Hold on. The Rivan says that, yes. So first of all, he says there's two explanations. One is that they made a takana that you're allowed to greet somebody else with Hashem's name. The other is that
but
you...
But the second
explanation, he says that you're required to. He says we don't do that now. We don't actually say Hashem's name out. However, we do say Shalom or Shalom Alecha or whatever. And Shalom is the name of Hashem.
Right.
We don't say Yivarech Hashem, but we do say Shalom Aleichem and Aleichem Shalom, and Shalom is the name of Hashem.
Right.
Yeah.
But the full name of Hashem we cannot.
We don't, use. Right? But yeah, okay.
42 syllables.
No, we're okay.
I only use that when I want to fly.
Yeah. You know, by the way, what the famous Gleich Vertel that they say why it is that one person says Shalom Aleichem and the other says Aleichem Shalom?
Why?
Because you can't get two Jews to agree on anything. Okay. Havas Meiser, the Rivan points out, includes a couple of details. We learned back in Yevamos, and we've learned sporadically since then, that there was a point at which Ezra made a takana that the Levim are, that we're going to penalize the Levim. We had different opinions over there as far as my division. We had an argument over there in Yevamos. Doesn't mean that he said that Levim are no longer going to receive my tradition. Mm-hmm. Koyanim instead are going to receive it. Or is it that you can give it equally to Koyanim or Levim, whereas up until then it was supposed to go to Levim? Well, the reason is because actually the reason why Ezra did that actually is because not enough Levim, when he came to Eretz Yisrael with his group, not enough Levim were coming along with them to serve in the Beis Mikdash, and he actually had to send messengers to one of the communities in Bavel telling them to send us some Levim.
They didn't have anything.
So the Koyanim came along with him. So then that's first of all. Second of all, the Rivan goes on to say, what they did is they made a takana that you're going to bring all the meiser, instead of like this up until then, you could give your truma and meiser to whichever kohen or whichever levi you wanted. They made a new takana that from now on you're bringing them to a central chamber in the Beis Mikdash, and from there they will be distributed to the kohenim and levi. And in fact, the Rivan said that actually it's not a new thing from Ezra's times. Chizkiah, about 200 years earlier, had done the same thing. And the reason behind it is because you had Levim who were Ovid Avodah Zarah or otherwise unfit to receive Meiser. Yeah. So therefore, like this, instead of making it up to the individual person, they made it like this, it'll be centralized and then distributed from there.
Who was
who's worthy of it or not. Yeah.
Meiser Depot.
Yeah. The third thing is, the Rivan says, Havat Maisim includes a third detail as well, which also goes back to the time of Chizkiyahu, which is originally, so we mentioned the other day, the Machlokes Rishonim, whether Minatora, Maisim, Truma, and Maisim applies only to grain, grapes, and olives, or Minatora does it apply to all fruits. The Rambam holds it applies to all fruits. Rashi holds it only applies to Minatora, the dog, and Tidush V'Yitzer. In any case, in Chizkiyahu's time, they made a takana that it also applies to vegetables as well. So that's the third part of Havas Meiser. When we say Havas Meiser, we
include...
They
applied for what?
So according to the Rambam, according to the Rashi, it applied only to grain, grapes, and olives. Right. According to the Rambam, it applied to all tree fruits.
Right.
So now, in Chizkiyahu's times, they made a takana that it also applies to vegetables.
Why he added that takana?
Because his people were being careless with Meiser, so like this, they'd be more careful, I don't know, whatever it is. The point is, those are the three things that are included in Havas Meiser, says the Rivan. Number one, that we're taking it away from the Levium, completely or partially. Number two, that we're making a centralized distribution, instead of each person can give their own. And number three, that we're giving some vegetables as well. And here, the Ritva says, that's the Chiddush of it is also, especially the second one that was saying to centralize it, you would think is being over on what the Torah says. The Torah says you can give to whoever you want, and here you're making it not. And yet the Beis Din Shomayla agreed with it. So how do we know with each one of these things that they agreed? Nikra Megillah, Dechtiv Kiyimu V'Kiblu V'Yehudim, because it says in Megillah Esther, that the Jewish people confirmed and accepted, meaning Kiyimu L'Mayla, Masha Kiblu L'Mata, meaning they confirmed L'Mayla, in the Beis Din Shomayla, what was accepted by the Jewish people down below, that there will be the mitzvah supporting, and specifically reading the Megillah.
I've been asking them permission. They're telling you after the fact it's good.
But we see from the pasuk that was written in Megillah Esther with Ruach HaKodesh, that's based in Shamayla agreed. Sheilas Shalom, where do we see this Sheilas Shalom, where do we see this greeting somebody with Hashem's name is agreed to by the Beis Din Shamayla? Dichtiv, because you have a pasuk like this. Vihine Boyaz Mobi Beis Lachem, this is actually at the end of Brachas as well, of Mishnayim. Boyaz was coming from Beis Lachem, this is in Megillah Suos, Vayomel HaKotzrim Hashem Imachem, he says to the harvesters, Hashem is with you. And they answered him, Yivarach Hashem. Va'omer, and you have a different pasuk by Gidon, that a malach says to him, Hashem Imcha Gibra Choyel, Hashem is with you, you mighty warrior. So we see from that. So we see Boaz is doing it down here, that he's telling his workers, Hashem Imachem, and we see that the Malach says to Gidon, Hashem Imcha, meaning showing that it was approved by Beis Din Shomayla. The Gemara says, my Va'omer, why do we need two psukim to why do we need a Va'omer, why do we need also the pasuk from Gidon? Because v'chitem of Boaz would avid midaite, because you might think if you only had the pasuk by Boaz, you would say, okay, it means Boaz did it on his own, or mishmaya le'eskimu al yodeh, not necessarily was it approved min hashamayim. Therefore, we have the passage that the Malach says to Gideon, Hashem Imcha Gibra Choyel, so we see that it was approved in Milamayla. The Marsha...
Then what passage we can use that it was approved in
Milamayla? So one second. So actually, the Marsha asked the question, chronologically, Boaz lived long after Gideon. Gideon was one of the middle shoftim. Ivson, which is Boaz, was one of the later shoftim, like 80 years later or so. How do we see that Boaz, the takana of later, was approved in Gideon's times? And Marsha leaves it as a question. So the Aruch HaNer answers, that's exactly it. The very fact that later on Shmuel HaNavi wrote Sefer Shoftim and wrote it as a nevuah, that he was told by Hashem to write it as a nevuah and to include this pasuk, Hashem Imcha Gibra Rachoyel, shows that it was accepted.
That was 8 years later.
Okay. Havas Meiser. No, well, Shmuel wrote it even long after that, but yeah. Havas Meiser. Where do we see this whole business about bringing Meiser, all these changes that were done in Meiser? Dichtiv, because you have a pasuk in Malachi, which is the beginning of the second Mishnah, same period as Ezra. Not only the same period, but there's actually an opinion in Gemara Megillah that Malachi is Ezra. That's two different names for the same person. Anyway, the pasuk says over there in his Nevuah, Haviu et kol ha-Meiser ha-Beisah-Meiser, bring all of the Meiser into the storehouse. So implying, first of all the mice, meaning of vegetables as well, and number two, to the storehouse, you're not giving it out individually. V'hi peres v'veitzi, let there be food in my house. U'chonuni no b'zois amar Hashem tzvakos, and Hashem continues, you can test me with this, says Hashem. This is the famous thing that Meiser is the only mitzvah in which you're allowed to test Hashem and say, I'm giving Meiser, and I expect that Hashem is going to do for me such and such. Omar Hashem Tzvakas, Imloy Eftach Chochemes Harubas HaShemayim, that you'll see, I will surely open for you the windows of Shemayim, V'harikos Yilachem Bracha Ad Blidai, and I will pour down for you Bracha until Blidai. So my Ad Blidai, what does it mean, Ad Blidai, famous thing? Omar Rami Barab, Ad Sheyivlo Sifsetechem Miloy Madai, until your lips wear out from saying die, enough.
That's
the famous, is where the song comes from, yeah, of course.
Is it ever enough?
Is it ever enough? Apparently it is. But
what's ever enough?
Is it? Yeah, I mean, there's
so actually, there's a number.
A person eventually has enough. There are a number of interesting explanations on this, by the way. One is, first of all, I mean, a couple of Mepharshim asked, the word "dai," you don't use your lips at all. You use your tongue, you use your palate. So one explanation is, Taka, you're saying "dai" so much, you're not using your lips. Your lips are wearing out, not from use, but from disuse, from not using them. Another explanation they say is that it's not just you're saying "dai," you're saying "dayenu brachos," in which case the word "brachos" involves your lips. But also, Marsha talks about, for example, that it means, he says there's two different types of bracha. There's a bracha that's given in an open way, and there's a bracha that's given in a concealed way. So the one that's given in a concealed way, you don't see it. So therefore, you're not even saying "dai" about it because you don't even know it's there. But it keeps coming.
Is that only on the seven minim?
Not necessarily.
Does that go on Maisa Momin?
What?
Does
it apply to Maisa Momin as well? So it is actually a machloekas, I think. This that we're saying that you can test Hashem,
exactly.
Does it apply to Maisa Momin or does it apply only to Maisa on produce? It's a machloekas, I think. Okay.
But I think the people who swear by it say it definitely was Momin.
Okay.
People who swear by it.
Yeah. Okay.
By Mama, by Mitzvah of money as well.
There are three cases where Ruach HaKodesh appeared, in other words, made it public that a certain decision was right. The Rivan actually says two explanations. This is in connection with before, but now we're talking about three other cases where Beis Din Shalmata decided something and Ruach HaKodesh, so the Divan gives two explanations. One is that Ruach HaKodesh revealed itself and demonstrated that they're right. And the other one is Nishma Mekoyo Gadol, that it was heard loudly. Anyway, what are the three cases? Beis Din Shal Shem, or Beis Din Shal Shmuel HaRamasi, or Beis Din Shal Shlomo. In the Beis Din of Shem, meaning not Shem himself, but the Beis Din that was founded by him and continued later on by his children and his Talmidim, the Beis Din of Shmuel himself, and the Beis Din of Shlomo himself. What are the three cases? The Beis Din is Shem, Dechtiv, because you have the pasuk this week's parasha. After the story of Yehuda and Tamar, so we have there that Yehuda is informed that Tamar is pregnant and apparently has been mezana. It's your b'tisar, take her out and let her be burnt. Later on, as Yehuda says, Vayaka Yehuda recognizes the pledges that he had left with her. Vayomer, he says, Tzodka mimeni. She is right. It's from me. So you have to ask, what do you mean it's from me? How does he know? These children are his. Menoyada, how does he know? Dilma ki hecha de ozo iu lagaba. Maybe the same way as he had relations with her. Elzo in nami in a shachrina lagaba. Maybe somebody else had relations with her. How does he know? These children that she's carrying are his. What it means is Yotza Basko Va'omer. I mean, the Basko came out and said, Mimeni Yotzu Kvushin. He says Tzodka, she's right. The Basko comes out and confirms, yes, Mimeni, this was all done by me, Yotzu Kvushin. Kvushim means hidden things. These hidden things that she had the schus that kings are going to descend from her. Kings have to descend from Yehuda. Yehuda didn't want to marry her off to Sheila. The only way she's going to end up having children is from Yehuda himself. Therefore, Hashem says, I made this Zera, that this is how it's going to happen, that this hidden thing is going to happen in this way. Or, the Rivan says another explanation, Kvushim is Meloshim Kovshim, conquerors. Conquerors are going to descend. I decided that conquerors are going to descend from her.
But when you said Sadka, did he know that it was only from him, or were you just hoping?
No, he's saying Sadka that she's right in what she did. In what she did, that she disguised herself and seduced me, et cetera, et cetera. And Hashem confirms me many, I'm the one who made it all happen.
Because it was evil.
Because it was a form of evil.
I mean, he realized she was the baker. She
right.
Was evil. So it could be that he figured out that...
Could be, but the point is, Mimeni doesn't mean he knows at that point for sure that the children are his, but rather that Hashem confirmed that he orchestrated all this thing.
Why did he have to do it this way?
Okay, so there's a lot of ideas. One idea that we talked about a couple of weeks back is that in general, with a lot of the things in the lineage of Mashiach, you have these irregular kinds of ways in which it was done, so to speak, to trick the Satan, because otherwise he would prevent it from happening. As it is, the Medrash says over here that the pledges that Tamar had, the staff, the signet, the cloak, whatever, that the Sutton tried to hide them away so she wouldn't be able to find them and then prove that Malach had to dig them up and find them for her. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. So that's one. Number two, we're based in Ishel Shmuel. Number two, the based in Ishel Shmuel. Where do we see that the Bas Kol appeared there? Dichtiv, like this. Shmuel, he assembles the Jewish people together after he's crowned Shoal of the new king. It's in Atorah of Parshas Korach. He says, Hinini Anubi, here I am, testify against me, Neged Hashem and Neged Mashiach, in front of Hashem and in front of his anointed one, Shoal. Asher mi lakachti, did I take anybody's ark? Did I ever do anything wrong to anybody? And Vayomru, and they answered, Lo yashaktonu, you never took anything illegally away from us. Vayomru, you never harassed us.
Why did he have to?
He wanted to show them. He wanted to demonstrate to them. Look, I've always been honest with you. So how come it is that you guys were? How could you be so ungrateful to Hashem and to me as to say that you need a human king? What was wrong with having Hashem as your king and me as the shepherd, basically? Okay. By Yomer, and he said, and Shmuel continues, Eid Hashem ve'Eid Mashiach. Okay, Hashem is now a witness, and his Mashiach, his anointed one, Shoal, is his witness. Kilei Metzasim b'Yadim Uma, that you haven't found anything illegal in my hand. By Yomer Eid, and he said a witness. So what do you mean he said? By Yomer, Rumi Barila. It should be they said. The Jewish people collectively said. So it means By Yomer means he said. Who's the he? It means Yotus Basko Omra Ani Aid Bedavazet. And the Basko called out and said, I am testifying to this that yes, Shmuel was 100% honest.
Nowadays with all the electronics, people don't believe Basko anymore.
Okay, that maybe. All right.
Let's get a speaker.
Yeah. Number three, based the initial Shlomo. Where do we see that Basko appeared in Shlomo's base? In the Siv, because you have the famous story of the two women with the baby over there. So Shmuel says, Shlomo says, Vayana Melech Vayomer. So afterwards, you have the one mother says, let him live, and the other one says, cut him in half. Vayana Melech Vayomer, and the king speaks up and said, Shnu lo atayel rachai, the one who has rachmanis on him, give her the live baby, v'homis lois misuhu, don't kill him, he imoy, she is his mother. The question is, how does he know 100% for sure?
Well,
this one is his mother.
Well, you see from the two mothers.
No, but Duma Iyaruma Ma'arma, but maybe she's tricking. Fine, the other one who said cut him off, okay, is obviously not the mother. And the other one who's saying, have Rachmanis on him, maybe she's not. Yeah, maybe she's not really his mother either. Maybe he's Yumiel.
Well, that's
It means Yosef, Basko, Va'omra, Hi'ima. It means Basko came out and called out and said she is his mother, definitively. When you have a machlokas and halacha, you don't listen to a baskel. You didn't have a machlokas and halacha. Shmuel figured it out. Not Shmuel. Shlomo figured it out with his own seichel and according to the halacha and whatever. And then the baskel came and confirmed that what he did is right. I'll bet like we have in Eruvin. The Gemara says that Bishama and Bishilol argued. Eventually, they decided the halacha is generally like Bishilol, and a baskel came out and confirmed that that's correct. Okay, so the question is, Omar Rava, so Rava says, how can you prove that in these three cases it was necessarily a baskel? Dilma Yehuda, maybe in the case of Yehuda, he didn't need a baskel to confirm that it's his baby. Kiven Dekoshev Yarchi V'Yomi, he figured out how many months and how many days is it since I had relations with Tamar, V'Yisrami, and it comes out that it fits as far as the date. Dechazinan Machzakinan, so then fine. Those who we see had relations with her, namely him himself, Machzakinan, we use for a chazaka, that he must be the father. Delay Chazinan, like Machzakinan. We didn't see that there was anybody else with her. We have no reason to think that there was any kind of chazaka that it might have been them. So no proof that it had to be a baskel. Shmuel Nami, and when it comes to Shmuel, when we said by Yomer Eid, not necessarily. Kula Yisrael called it Rubalash and Yechidi. Maybe the entire Jewish people could be called collectively by a singular name. Dichtiv, as the pasuk says, we have a pasuk, for example, Yisrael Noisha B'Hashem. Yisrael is saved by Hashem, and Noisha is Lashon Yachid. By the way, Marshal says, you know, we could have used a pasuk in Chumash. We could have used, for example, Vayichan Sham Yisrael, Neged Ahav.
Yeah.
But he says the reason why we didn't is because over there we know that it's for Jerusha because Ki Yishach HaBaleva. But Yisrael Noisha B'Hashem, there's no particular reason why it says Noisha in the singular, but that's just the style that it speaks of the Jewish people as one person. And Shlomo Nami, Midaha Kamarachmata, V'Holoi Kamarachmata, since you have one has Rachmanis on him and one not, and there's no other claimant to the baby, that by elimination, by process of elimination, it must be the one. So not necessarily did it have to be a baskel. Ella Gemara. No, the bottom line is, we have to say, we can't necessarily prove from the psukim, but we have the Kabbalah that those three times the baskel came out and confirmed it. Can you prove it from the psukim? Not necessarily,
no.
But then the fact that there was a baskel.
Why did Mara have to come back and say?
Because the fact is, the bottom line is, we know that this is the case. We can't prove it from the psukim, but we know that it's true anyway. Okay. since we mentioned in the Mishnah about the number, we mentioned about what Rav Hanan ben Akashya said about the, how many mitzvahs Hashem gave us in order to give us Sfus. So now we're going to talk a little bit about the mitzvahs. Darash Rav Simloy. Rav Simloy darshan as follows. Sheish meyos shloish at your mitzvahs nemrilo the Moshe. Moshe was told 613 mitzvahs. This, by the way, this is the source in Shas for the concept of 613 mitzvahs. Shloishmeh Shishim Vachomish Lavin Kaminina Maisachama, 365 Lavin, which is the equivalent of the number of the days of the year, which means, in other words, that Rivan said, every day he's told, don't be over on a loisa. And we all know the more famous thing, actually, which actually comes from the Zohar, that 365 corresponds to the 365 Gidim in a person, which is brought all over the place in the city. And there's actually
Gidim
and Evarim, we're going to say, that's Ramach Mitzvah, as I say, Gidim has a number of meanings. It means nerves, it means veins, it means sinews. Yeah, all together, collectively. I don't know. The Gidan Asher, for example, counts as one. Actually, the Zohar talks about, actually, that the Gidan Asher is connected with Gidan Asher, is a sciatic nerve. It's the Isser of that is specifically connected with Tisha B'Av. And that's what the Gemara is saying over here, that each mitzvah loisa that corresponds to one day of the year. So,
With Tisha B'Av, as far as the day goes.
I thought you were saying
the Shittah Gidim, I will connect that mitzvah loisa, say, with that Gidim.
Well, yeah, that obviously. But
what does it have to do with Tisha B'Av?
It has to do with Tisha B'Av because Yaakov was badly wounded over there, as we were on Tisha B'Av.
Tisha B'Av was...
No, it didn't happen on Tisha B'Av necessarily. The connection is that just like Yaakov was wounded over there, but he survived it. So the same way, we Jewish people were badly wounded on Tisha B'Av. But
When did it happen?
One day of the year. I don't know. I don't think that's the way. And then you have 248 mitzvahs haseh corresponding to the limbs of a person. Each limb tells the person, says that Ivan, do a mitzvah. As a matter of fact, actually, there's a sefer from one of the Achronim, Rabbi Lazar Azikri, the same one who wrote Yedid Nefesh. He wrote a sefer called Sefer Charedim, which actually arranges the mitzvahs according to the Evarim of the body. I don't think he associates each mitzvah with one individual Evar, but he says, like, here are all the mitzvahs that have to do with the head, here are all the mitzvahs that have to do with the arms, with the heart, etc.
From the count, the Yitzhahara is much stronger than the Yitzhahara. 365 lavin.
What we just said in the Mishnah, that every time a person refrains from doing a lav, then they get a foot.
But still, the Yetzirah is much stronger.
Doesn't mean the Yetzirah is stronger. What it does mean, though, is that you have, in the Gemara and Eruvin, you have one of the arguments between Beshama and Basil is Noyach Lo Adam Shenivra or Noyach Lo Adam Shelo Nivra. Would a person have been better off if they had been born, or would a person have been better off not being born? And the conclusion is over there, Taka, that a person might have been better off not being born. And part of it is because you have much more chances to go wrong. You have 365 Loisa says, as against 248 S's. However, once a person has been born, then a person, you pash bishmai, says, then a person has to be careful.
Made it this way, that we have many more chances to go wrong than to be
because we also have, therefore, many more chances to refrain from those things and therefore get tired for that, as we said in the Mishnah.
248.
What? That's mitzvah tasei. That's actually do something. Here we're talking about you have 365 things that you can refrain from and get tired for that.
You have 248 that you can do and also get a mitzvah.
Okay, but you also
it's
have
much
more.
Harder to refrain than to
it's
do.
It's not necessarily. It depends. Okay.
It's not hard to refrain from eating the blood.
Yeah. Amr of Amnuna, my cross, Rav Amnuna says, where is the pasuk that expresses this idea that we see that there's 613 mitzvahs? Because the pasuk is Torah Tzivolonu Moshe, Modosha. So Torah begematria shismei of chad tzvehavi. The word Torah is begematria 611. The Moshe Torah 611 mitzvahs. What's the other two? Anoichi v'la yilach mepiag v'rashmanum. Anoichi and the yilach, we heard directly from Hashem. The first two of the divrei, we heard directly from Hashem. As we find, so first we have that Hashem spoke it all by Gabriel, that Hashem spoke it all in one word, and the people didn't understand it. So then Hashem repeats it, Anoichi Hashem alekecha and l'yilach, and they heard each of them individually, but they were so scared that then the neshamas left them and whatever, that they had to ask Moshe to say the rest of them. So those two we heard from Hashem, and the other 611 we heard from Moshe. So that makes total 613.
So we never heard 613. The people never heard 613.
So the people heard two of them directly from Hashem, and the other 611 we heard throughout the 40 years from Moshe, yeah. So one, yeah, so there is the idea, by the way, that Marshall brings it.
They,
yeah, because they were too afraid because their neshamas were flying out of their bodies.
Well,
yeah,
after
yeah, after each one of the two, yeah. Halam Roy Mithakolas, Vayaram Vayanu, yeah. And Marshall mentions, by the way, an idea which is brought in many places in Chassidus, that these two mitzvahs are the sources for the Altadabra brings in Tanya, for example, that Anochi is the source for the Ramach mitzvahs, let's say, and Lo Yelacha is the source for all the Shasa Loisas, for all the 365 Loisas. So in that sense, we did hear them all, but in an encapsulated way. Moshe, we heard the rest of them through Moshe. Nevertheless, though, and as the Rambam points out, Hilchos Yisrael de'Ayin Torah, that we heard by Hasina, we heard Hashem telling Moshe, go tell the people such and such, and Moshe tells it, so therefore that makes it. We know definitively that Moshe is saying exactly what Hashem told him. And therefore we believe thoroughly in what Moshe said. We don't need Oysus or Moshe or whatever. We have the direct fact that we saw that Hashem was speaking to Moshe and he spoke to him. We couldn't physically hear the other ones because, yeah, we weren't there. But we weren't up there. That in Parshas Vatzchanan, it described that. It was Moshe described to the people how terrified they were, and they asked Moshe to be the intermediary and hear it from Hashem and relay it to them. And Hashem says, "Hey, Tibu Hashem Diberu." They asked what they asked is a good thing. I will do that. Yeah.
What's the purpose of Hashem? Made himself so terrified.
The purpose of it was that this way we heard the two from Hashem, and that way those two are embedded. As a matter of fact, some of them are forward. As a matter of fact, somebody says, and it's similar to an idea that Altadabra mentions in Tanya, we know that a person, unfortunately, can be over on many averus. It's much rarer that a yid is given a choice to deny the Eibishter or to worship of a Dezara. That's much rarer that a person gives up that because we heard these two directly from Hashem. And therefore, they got embedded much more deeply than the other one. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe it's also if all the mitzvahs had been so terrifying, then we wouldn't have Kriyas Choshev.
Maybe, but on the other hand, if we hadn't heard these two, then we wouldn't have any basis for believing in Moshe any more than any other novel. Yeah. That's the Rama makes this point, and he also said, "I told him this way: the Torah can never be falsified by any later prophet or whatever." And you know, obviously, very well what he was talking about when he's writing this. And he also said, "I told him, you know, perfectly well who he's talking against, because we're not believing them because of Oysus or Mersim for the Nisim they did, where some later Navi could claim that he's doing bigger Nisim, but rather because we heard directly from Hashem speaking to Moshe, whereas these other so-called Nevi'im can't claim
anything."
Yeah. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow. So now we have the 613 mitzvahs, but we're going to talk about that in later generations, those were condensed down into a smaller number. What do you mean condensed down? We'll deal with tomorrow. So I would like to make the seal. He's asking when we're making the seal.
Yeah.
So we will finish Makkos tomorrow night, Bez Hashem. The seal, I'm planning during the year to skip the Pabreng, and they always have to make a seal there anyway for one of the Masechtos that was learned during the year. So
Thursday night.
So that would be Thursday night, if so. I asked Rabbi Abson about it. He hasn't confirmed with the powers that be because he's not going to be running it. But I'll know tomorrow. So if so, then we'll be doing that. So then we'll finish Makkos tomorrow, and hopefully also be able to start in on Shavuos.
So starting Shavuos on Yutet Kislev?
No, so we'll start Shavuos before Yutet Kislev. What are we going to do the next 3 days otherwise? But
when are we finishing this?
We will finish Makkos tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.
Tomorrow,
Be'ez Hashem. But we will do the Siyum on Makkos, Be'ez Hashem, on Thursday night, if the powers that be say yes. And meanwhile, we'll begin Shavuos, and meanwhile, we'll start learning the first couple of daf.
What do we do for the Siyum? Bring some stuff?
So again, if it's going to be part of the Yurtos Kislev Fabreng, and we don't have to bring anything, then then you can contribute to the shul towards it. But if we're going to be making...
Yurtos Kislev should be Thursday.
Should be a Thursday night, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
And we're finishing when?
We're going to be finishing tomorrow night.
So tomorrow.
Okay, but we don't have to make a seum 3 days, and we don't have to make a seum right there. It's not the first time that we've made seum in some time after we finished a Masechta.